Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Why does the history and heritage of Pella matter today? And why is it important to the citizens of Pella and all of Marion County? Let's go in depth with Bonnie Verberg, director of the Vermeer Windmill at the Pella Historical Village. Bonnie, why does Pella's history and heritage matter?
Dr. Bob, that's really a million-dollar question, isn't it? I think it matters a lot because of the Dutch settlers who came originally. All 800 of them that came in 1847 were from the Netherlands. And so they had a common denominator, and they had a lot of pride in their country and in who they were. And the people that are here today have continued that pride, I believe.
That's pretty interesting. That coherent group came, and its legacy is felt today in many ways, isn't it?
It has. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, Dr. Bob? You know, we have things that are here day in and day out that we sort of start to take for granted. I mean, for many years, Pella's had a windmill in the Central Park, or at Brinkhoff Park, or at Sunken Gardens Park. And then, of course, about 10 years ago, we built the big windmill here on the square. But always a windmill. And how many people didn't have wooden shoes sitting in front of their door? And I believe they'd have had them whether there'd have been a tulip time or not. And of course, the tulips that were brought here way back, I think the first tulip bulbs came here in 1900 or something along that, or maybe 1895 or somewhere in there. And how people have such a love for that flower because that was from their native country. And even though Pella is far from being 100% Dutch today, there still are quite a few people who can trace their roots to that.
Do you have any idea what proportion of Pella is still has that Dutch heritage?
Well, I've been asked that question by a lot of people over the last 9 or 10 years. And so a few years ago, I decided to take an informal, very unscientific survey. And each year, all the Pella Community School fifth graders come through the mill and the historical village the end of April. And so I thought, well, fifth graders would know if they have any Dutch ancestry or not. And so I started asking them. And just very roughly, based on those fifth graders, about 40% of them admitted to having some sort of Dutch heritage. That doesn't mean they have a Dutch last name today. And it might be that they'll say, I'm only 25% Dutch or maybe less than that. But somewhere in their roots, they would claim some Dutch ancestry, which means there were 60% who don't have that Dutch ancestry, but who still take a great deal of pride because of living in Pella in our heritage.
And so that establishes a common identity, a common set of values, do you think, in the people in the community? Does it help?
I think it does make a big difference. I think, you know, I grew up in Pella, so I've lived here for more years than I like to count. But back in the 60s, I would have to guess that probably 70% of the population had some Dutch roots or some Dutch heritage. When I think back to the kids in my class in fifth grade, a lot more of them were Dutch. And, of course, because Vermeer and Pella Corp and lots of the other little manufacturing industries that have come to Pella, and Central College has always been very diverse, the population has become a lot more diverse. But people who choose to move to Pella and actually live here for their jobs seem to appreciate that Dutch heritage also. It's one of the reasons they moved here. They like the pride that people take for the most part in their yards and in their homes. They like the activities downtown that draws people together with a common bond of the band concert or the Thursdays in Pella or whatever events are going on. They like the fact that Vermeer and Pella Corp and some of the other industries are so generous in supporting our Dutch heritage in many ways. The windmill is a great example, the Pella Historical Village, the grants that we receive at Scholte House, the funding that the Garden Club provides for the tulip beds along the streets. There's just a lot of people who contribute to who we are.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about history with Bonnie Verberg, director of the Vermeer Windmill. Are there any other towns in Iowa, or let's say in the Midwest, or any place else you'd like to mention that do as well in celebrating their heritage as Pella does?
Well, I think there's other towns who celebrate it. I just had somebody in from Emmitsburg the other day, and they were talking about their St. Patrick's Day celebration. There's a lot of Irish people there. I'm not sure if they carry it throughout the entire year, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I know there's a huge Nordic fest up at Decorah that they celebrate some of their Scandinavian heritage up there. Of course, Orange City has a tulip time also, and they really go all out for it. It's a much smaller town, so the tulip festival's on a much smaller scale, but all the same, they have a good share of the town participates in it. Other towns, the Amanas, of course, always have their Oktoberfest that they celebrate their German heritage. So there's a lot of towns who celebrate. Of course, in Des Moines, you're constantly reading about this little population of ethnic group. The Irish are celebrating, or the Latinos are celebrating, or whatever. They're all having their own celebration different weekends. But Pella is very unique. I'd have to go back and research it, but I think they're one of about the only town that 800 people came in 1847 and said the only people who came were all from the Netherlands. And they said, we are going to settle as far west and in the middle of nowhere so that we don't have to have any outside influence as possible. And that was because they wanted to keep their religious freedoms. And so they came a self-sufficient community. They, when they decided to come, they recruited people of various trades so that they wouldn't have to rely on Americans for any career, so to speak, or occupation, anything that they might need to have accomplished, they could accomplish within their own town, which most towns, when they were settled, came because of mines, and people came from all over the place for the job, whereas here, the people came for religious freedom and stuck together very closely. Now, there's a handful of them who migrated up to northwest Iowa and other places, but for the most part, they stayed pretty coherent, and I think that is what contributes to why Pella is what it is today, and I hesitate to say all of that, Dr. Bob, to be honest with you, because I don't want people to think that Pella is superior, or that we think we're superior in any way, or that if you're not Dutch, you can't live here, or any of that sort of thing, because that's not what I'm trying to say. I just think that that's what initially made it what it is.
That legacy continues today with sense of pride in the community and ownership, sense of history, and then celebrating that history.
Well, that's very true. And of course, they came for the religious freedoms, which explains a church on every street corner. They came because they wanted to do their own, not be told what to do. Dutch are very independent people. And they left the Netherlands, half of them for religious freedoms, but half of them came because they couldn't make a living over there. The economy was bad, and they choose to emigrate here. And today yet, I mean, because of the jobs we have here, people are choosing to work here and live here if at all possible. And history is important. It's really important. I mean, we always talk about our Dutch history, but there's a lot of American history that goes into Pella also. I mean, the Dutch would have been done for by 1848 or 1849 had it not been for the gold rush. I mean, they were running really low on funds, and they needed an economic boost. Well, the gold rush brought people right through this area and gave a nice economic boom to the town. And that's true with many communities, and that's why some communities have sort of died off, just because they ran out of funding. But if you continually develop new products and new industries, and you're blessed enough that people keep coming in, then your town can continue to grow. And those are all based on people. It's kind of which came first, the chicken or the egg. You know, they come for the quality of life. The community will come, and the industry will come and establish themselves if they think the quality of life is there for their employees. But if you don't have the industry, it's really hard to have the quality of life.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about history with Bonnie Verberg, director of the Vermeer Windmill.
people are very active in the community in celebrating this heritage and celebrating the history. Some people do it just by volunteering, by participating at Tulip Time, and other people are more active members in the Society of Pella Historical. Are there a lot of members? Do you need more members? How does that all work?
Oh, Bob, you could always need more members. And yes, there are quite a few members, but not nearly enough. I mean, we're talking less than 10% of Pella's population, probably around 10, maybe 15% of Pella's population are members of Pella Historical Society. And that's kind of a shame. I think people don't know what Pella Historical Society is or how much we need to rely on those memberships in order to continue all the things we do to promote our Dutch heritage. But we are just getting ready to kick off our annual membership drive in the next month or two. So if people join now, they get a year and a half for the price of a year. Just a little plug for people, because we're in the middle of the year, and really our membership year runs from January through December. So if they join now, their membership is good from now through December 2012. But with that membership, they're helping to show that they support that Dutch heritage. They're showing that they appreciate that somebody's holding on to that history and maintaining it like we do here at the Historical Village and over at Schulte House and in the Windmill, over at Amsterdam School, the Glockenspiel. There's just a lot of different things that Pella Historical helps to maintain. And I don't know that people understand that. And of course, the Tulip Festival is all sponsored by the Pella Historical Society. People seem to think that we could operate just based on tours alone. I wish that were true, but several years ago when I first started, I figured out how much we'd have to charge per tour in order to meet our budget, and it was about $40 a person. So we only charge $8. And so there's a big margin to make up in between there that we need to come up with other funding. And yes, some of it comes from tours, but about 25% of it, but the rest of it has to come from memberships, it comes from donations, it comes from income that we receive during our Tulip Festival, because yes, we do, if it's a good Tulip Festival, we make some money. If it's a rainy Tulip Festival, we don't make any money. But our endowments help pay interest, but anybody who has money invested right now knows what interest rates are and how much you're making on those endowment funds. So we do rely really heavily on membership. We also rely really heavily on volunteers. If we had to pay our volunteers or pay people to give the mill tours or to be the miller up in the mill every day or to greet people as they come in or to help with some of the gardening or to help with the Dutch day camp that's going on, I mean, there's no way Pella Historical Society could continue to exist. It would be flat broke a long time ago. But it has, and actually, the Historical Village is celebrating its 45th birthday in August, and so it has existed for quite a while. Under the leadership of Patsy Sadler, and of course, the Historical Society has sponsored it all these years, we have a very fine museum. Bob, I don't know if I've told you, I had some people come through, I think it was early this summer or late last fall, who had decided to tour every museum in the United States, and they had started on the East Coast, and so they had been through the Smithsonian, and they had been to Biltmore, and they had been to Springfield, and they had been to many, many museums. They were kind of zigzagging all the way up and down the United States, and they were finally to Iowa. And they said, "We don't know if you realize it, ma'am, but we just have to tell you, we have been to hundreds of museums, and we would have to put yours in the top five." Now, that is a huge compliment from somebody who started on the East Coast and has done all the Civil War museums and that sort of thing and says ours is in the top five. I think as a community, we do not realize the treasure we have here. And if more people be members, they can tour at no charge. But even if they're not a member, $8 is a super bargain price. And those people would tell you that they paid $30, $40 for museums were less quality than what we have here.
Well, and there's really no way, is there, to get a sense of the economic impact Pella's heritage and Pella Historical has on the community? Is there any way to get any numbers on that?
Well, I would love to give a number to it, and I have used some of those numbers in some of our membership recruitment. It's several million dollars if you figure how many people tour in a year. Over 16,000 people toured just the Historical Village from July of 2010 through June of 2011.
Say that number for me again.
Over 16,000.
Wow.
And if you take that times 200 and some odd dollars, well, right there you're at 320,000 plus, probably close to $350,000 on the community. And that's not including tulip time. During the festival, we estimate 170,000 people came through. Well, take that times your 200 and some odd dollars. You're looking at in the millions of dollars of the economic impact. And we've said lots of times that any small business or any industry who could generate that kind of economic impact for a community would be considered to be a pretty good contributor to the community. And so we feel like Pella Historical contributes largely to the community just by the tourists that they're bringing in. Many, many, many people come because they're interested in a windmill. But there's a lot of people who come just because they want to see Wyatt Earp's home. There's a fair share who come just because they heard about it from a friend or a neighbor or a relative and said they can't miss it. Like I said before, our museum is one of the top in the nation. Why would you not want to tour and help support that?
Well, and where do people come from?
Well, Bob, we just did a survey, or everybody that comes signs our guest book. And so we tally all those numbers to see where people come from. And we had them from every state in the United States except two this year. And I'm just thinking they came and didn't sign the book. But we missed out on Maine and Rhode Island this year for some reason. There's somebody who comes from Rhode Island that has family here in town. And this must not have been their year to come because we didn't get it signed this year. But they came from 40 different countries. So, I mean, all the way from Ecuador to South Africa to parts in between, many of the European countries. Of course, the most of another country is Canada, and then followed very close or by the Netherlands. We had 76 people over from the Netherlands last year, which is a lot of people from another country. But when you look at that list, Poland and Puerto Rico and Russia and France and Finland and Ecuador and China and Chile and Australia. It's just pretty unbelievable how many countries people come from. And then, of course, all over the United States. There'll be days that it seems like almost no one is from Iowa that comes through. They've come from everywhere. And I don't know that a week goes by that we don't have somebody from another country besides the United States. Pretty much every week and lots of times more than one a week.
Well, I've often thought of how hard people at Pella Historical work at pulling this off, and then you just going through this list of countries makes me think again just how much fun it must be.
It is a lot of fun. In fact, I know you're really busy these days, but if you'd like to volunteer, Dr. Bob, I could find you a position very easily. It is so much fun here to be a host or hostess and greet all these people and hear their story and why they came to Pella. It is fascinating. You just never get bored when you're sitting there listening to the or standing there listening to their stories and getting acquainted with them. And then if you take them up in the windmill, then you've got 30 minutes of one-on-one time, so then you really have heard their stories, and you've explained our heritage to them. And I think by doing that, not all of my guides and hostesses have Dutch heritage, but they still take a great deal of pride in Pella's roots. And it just builds your pride. If you can talk to other people, anytime you can be actively involved, your pride will grow and your appreciation for Pella Historical and for the town itself will grow. If you're one of those people who sits on the fringe and don't get involved, you're not going to enjoy life nearly as much, and you're certainly not going to appreciate what we have to offer. You just need to be a part of it. My husband, he wouldn't like it, but we won't tell him that we're airing this. For years, didn't participate in tulip time because his family just wasn't that involved. They marched when they were kids, but then after that, it was sort of a nuisance. And once he became connected with me, who loves tulip time, well, then he started to get more involved. And about 5 years ago, he said, you know, I'd like my own Dutch costume. And so we had a brand new costume sewed for him. And he wears it with a great deal of pride. But it's just a matter of first becoming involved, because it's very easy to judge it and say, oh, it's just a bunch of hullabaloo and it's a lot of work and all these people are here. But when you look at the benefit that Pella receives from all the tourists who come in and all of the guests who are visiting people and decide to come tour, if you're a monetary sort of person and you look at each one of those people and think $230 a person, it sort of gives you a different perspective. Now, I would like to think that we're welcoming them because of our hospitality, not because of the dollars that they generate. But there's some people whose brains work better when they think about the dollars rather than the hospitality, perhaps. But I think we have a lot to be proud of. I would think that everybody in the county would want to be a part of it, not just in Pella, because the economic impact isn't just impacting Pella. Those people are camping out at the lake. They're running over to Knoxville and seeing the Sprint Car Hall of Fame or the races, or they're shopping and they're going over to Peachtree Brewery. They're going out to Tassel Ridge Winery. They're going on down to Indianola. So I know those aren't Marion County things, but the whole area is being impacted by the tourists that are coming in.
Thanks to Bonnie Verberg for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.